The presentation of our Lord Jesus Christ at the temple is a wonderful feast day of our Lord, often overshadowed by other better known feasts like Christmas, Epiphany, Easter, Pentecost, and All Saints' Day. The beauty of these celebrations lie not only in the ritual of carrying the light of Christ into our sanctuary during the procession, but also in its multiple layers of symbolism and revelations about the mission and destiny of this child being presented in the temple in Jerusalem. I shared a link to an introduction to Candlemas, a popular reference to this date, penned by my friend and colleague Neil Fernihold yesterday with my blog. I encourage you to take a read when you get home if you haven't had a chance to. If you are not on the parish email list yet, you can also go to the parish website and click the blog on the top menu. The requirement to present every firstborn child to God in the temple is based on the Mosaic law in the book of Exodus, that every firstborn, regardless whether it's human or animal, is consecrated to God. Why? The commandment came as a response to God's mighty deliverance of the firstborn of the Israelites when the 10th plague, if you remember the 10 plagues, fell on their oppressors, the Egyptians. In the eyes of the Israelites, their firstborn were spared and redeemed by the Passover lamb, of which they were instructed to sacrifice. This is why every firstborn son of Israel was required to be redeemed through an offering made at the temple. And so, Joseph and Mary followed the custom of the day, offered the two turtle doves to redeem their firstborn from God. Early Christians interpret this story of the meeting of the Holy Family, Simeon, and the prophetess Anna as a moment when heaven and earth, old covenant and new, came together in Jesus Christ, the light of nations, and the fulfillment of God's promises to Israel and the world. Today, many Christians raised questions about the place of sacred violence in the Exodus story. Would a God of love sanction violence on God's enemies? Is the question that bothers quite a lot of us. Yes, it would be good and nice for the people being delivered, but that the fact that a God of love would actually be a perpetrator of violence, actively participate in destroying whatever God's family, could be troubling, because a God who models violence also would gather people who modeled the same vengeance and violence. In this story today, we are reminded that this child, a descendant of Abraham who was presented and redeemed at the temple 40 days after he was born according to custom, was going to show the whole world in time that God has no place for violence and sacrifice. He who met his death on the cross as a scapegoat was raised by the loving Creator to proclaim peace and forgiveness, not vengeance and retribution. He offered himself as a balm to break the cycle of violence and vengeance in the world. He who bore the weight of human wrath became a different kind of a mighty deliverance, a new Passover through the path of self-sacrifice. Those who have ears, let them hear. The timing of this feast makes it into a kind of pivot in the Christian year. Simeon's prophetic foreshadowing of suffering, coming as it does so close to the Lent in just a few more Sundays' time, nudges us to take a last look back to celebrate the Incarnation, then turn towards the cross. The feast also falls on the exact midpoint between winter solstice and spring equinox, making it another pivot between winter and spring darkness and light. It is no coincidence that earth-based religions of the Celts predating Christianity observe a festival named Imbolc, celebrating the goddess Brigid, the divine feminine, along with the rebirth of light. When Christianities arrived in Ireland, Brigid became a saint whose feast day is also celebrated on this day. While the divine feminine has been silenced throughout much of the official presentations of Christianities, other than the few vignettes of prophetess and women disciples, on this Candlemas, I invite you to look to Mary, Anna, and Brigid as manifestations of the divine feminine, giving thanks for their role in nurturing, tending, and herding the divine light to enter into our world throughout the age, today, and in the days to come. So, homework. Reach out to a woman today and thank her for bringing light into your world. Let everybody remember to do that when you leave this place. 2 weeks ago, I recited the Song of Simeon by the bed of a priest who was on his way to make his maker soon. He was one of my dear mentors since I was first ordained. The words, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servants depart in peace according to thy word, for my eyes have seen thy salvations," offer great comfort to both him and me. One of the greatest gifts one can ever receive is to live our earthly life feeling fulfilled and without fear. Standing amid the song is Christ, who is light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of the people of Israel. I think in the world today, it is critical for us to bear witness to the powers of the world that being the glory of the covenanted people of Israel and being light to those outside the covenant with Israel can coexist. It is not the covenanted people and the others. They are not mutually exclusive. And we rejoice today because of this revelation that the fulfillment of the glory of Israel and the lightening of the Gentiles, people who are outside the covenant, the fulfillment lies in this child that was being presented in the temple. Christ became flesh to show the world that walking in the way of Christ Jesus is to offer one's life, building a kingdom of peace with justice. As we cherish the joy and light revealed in the story of Mary, Joseph, Jesus, Simeon, and Anna today, let us recommit ourselves to be bearers of this light of Christ, to proclaim peace, justice, and forgiveness throughout our lives, wherever we are, whenever we are. And in days like this, when the light feels a little bit dim, remember to call out the name of Jesus. Call out the name of Jesus, who will brighten the light within us and outside us and around us, to support us to continue to live our life as sign of God's love and justice in the world. Borrowing the good words and song of Carol King, you can call out my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running to see you again. Winter, spring, summer, or fall, all you have to do is call, and I'll be there. Yes, I'll be there. You've got a friend.